And also, you guys know that Sharon's mother passed away. The funeral information is on the website, and it's actually tomorrow morning, and I think the visitation is today. So today, you guys are going to have your bulletin insert. That's going to be kind of your outline that would normally be on PowerPoint, and everybody, you should have like a pen so you can jot down your scriptures. You're not going to have time to turn to every single scripture that I reference. So just kind of make a quick note of it. And if you need a pen, you can just raise your hand and our ushers will bring you one. Yeah, so I believe that God is activating us all now in learning how he speaks. And so as we go through different ways, we want you guys to be thinking of either things that he's told you to do that you haven't done, or maybe he's dropping something in your spirit right now. So usually when I'm taking notes, I'll be following along, but then when God gives me something, I'll turn the page, write down what God says, and then just go right back. So I want to pass that on along to you guys. I was thinking about it, not in a prideful way, but in any time that someone has come to me and they've wanted to learn how to hear the voice of God, I've never not had them hear. So every time someone said, hey, Tiffany, I haven't heard the voice of God, I'd like to, once we've walked each other, once I've walked with them for it, through it, they hear. And so it's 100%. So if there's anybody in here that says, I've never heard God tell me something, it's fail-proof. We were created to hear God. We were created to live by his word. It's not just for a few people, and he didn't stop speaking. He is still speaking, and that's part of our creed. Another thing I want to just point out, if you have not heard God speak in a very long time, but you have heard him in the past, you need to go back to that spot. So sometimes we take left turns or we take a right turn, and God's like, I didn't give you that authority. I'm still back here. He is a parent who draws us back in. He doesn't just go along with every single one of our plans. I've had to do it a couple of different times in my life where I'm like, so you were serious. You really wanted me to do that. Okay. So I've just had to come back and change my mind about what I was doing. So if you have not heard from him in a long time, but you used to write down where you left him and go back to that spot. So, Father, we just thank you that your word says in John 10:27 that your sheep hear your voice. And so we are coming into agreement, and we will hear you today. Amen? All right. So the first way that he speaks, you'll see in your little bulletin insert, is his word. So that's why we raise our Bibles every day when we gather together. In Hebrews 4:12, we say that his word is alive and active. When I grew up in a church that did not preach the word of God. They would say, you know, like the little paragraph, and then they would just kind of talk about other stuff. So when I was around faith-filled Christian believers, it was my very first time I'd been around people that memorized anything other than John 3:16. That was the only thing that my denomination had memorized. That's it. And so the advantage I had was everything was new to me. Once I got born again, every word I was like, oh my gosh, how come nobody told me this? Like, I was like, this is what the word of God said. I had no idea you weren't supposed to get drunk. I had no clue. I read in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk. And I was like, what? Because where I came from, my family was especially drunk when Jesus was born and when he resurrected. That was when we were the most drunk. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just culturally, that's where I came from. So when the word of God says something different, then culturally, you have to decide. Am I going to go with my culture that says, hey, let's celebrate this way? Or am I going to go with the word of God that says, be filled with the Spirit? Being filled with the Spirit is amazing. It is more fun than you could ever imagine. Do it God's way. I promise he is not holding back anything from you that is good for you. I also had no idea that forgiveness was a commandment. Culturally, we used to give people a 10-year sentence. If they did us wrong, whether they apologized or not, they got a 10-year sentence, and it is something that we literally laughed about. When I read in the Bible that we are commanded to forgive, in Ephesians 4:32, it says forgive. He's not asking us to. He's not telling us if they come to you and if they say, oh, I'm so sorry that I hurt your feelings. No. God's word says forgive. So you have to really decide if you want to hear from God. You have to decide, he's God, I'm not, my culture isn't. He's God, so I may be learning something in here for the very first time. I've got to come under his word, and I've got to make that choice to change. So his word, he speaks. It's amazing. One time I read in here, I don't have the scripture reference. You can Google it. It said, you will go out with joy. And I was like, God, I'm far from joyful. I felt depressed. But his word said I should have joy. I shouldn't go out depressed. His word said, go out in joy. So I'm like, well, God, then you're going to have to do it. I don't have it in me. And I don't think I've struggled with having joy in quite some time. People said I'm obnoxious with joy, but I haven't struggled with that because I just decided he was right. I decided my feelings weren't right. My feelings of going out in sadness weren't right. And I just said, okay, Lord, show me how to do it. It's not always that simple. Sometimes we have to wrestle it out, but he's worth it. He's worth it to wrestle it out. Amen? Okay, the next way that you can hear, if you want to look on your little sheet, it's an impression. So every once in a while, you're driving around doing nothing, and then all of a sudden, you'll get someone's name, and it'll just pop into your head. Have you guys had that happen to you? Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. Right? So at the very least, you need to pray for that person. But when the Holy Spirit drops somebody into your mind that you have not heard about in so long, you've got to do it. The other day, I was cutting vegetables, making something in the kitchen, and this woman's name came to mind. I'm not really friends with her, but I happen to have her cell phone number. And so I just texted her. And as I was texting her, I felt like the Lord was giving me a scripture for her. And so I just really simply just stopped what I was doing, texted her to the scripture, and went back to cutting vegetables. And hours later, she contacted me and said, thank you so much. I'm about to go do a funeral for a small child. And I was praying to God what scripture to put. It was a small impression. It's really easy to forget, to not take it into obedience. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that's the good thoughts and the bad thoughts, right? So if they're good thoughts, like that scripture in the lady's name, I had to take hold of it and bring it into obedience. It could have just left. I could have never done anything with that. She wouldn't have gotten her encouragement, and she needed it at that time, right? So that impression, it's a big deal. Keep in mind, we've all heard God that way, right? The other way that you can, a number two on your bulletin insert, it's an impression in your body. So we talk about words of knowledge a lot in this church, and many of us walk in it, praise God. In 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation is a visible expression of the Spirit. It's given to each one of us, and one of those ways is for the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So one of the ways that I love reading about this, it's in Luke 1:41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt within her womb. So pregnant girls know your child's always leaping up and down, but that was a word of knowledge. That was a word of knowledge. It came with the instructions from God that went, Mary, you're pregnant. That's, she knew it. So sometimes God gives it to you in your body. So be in check. Last week I told the guys while I was preaching, I was getting a really weird sensation in my ear. I completely missed it as a word of knowledge, but I shared it. I shared with Maria. I was in the car with her yesterday, and I was like, oh, man, you know, I think that was a word of knowledge. And she was like, it was for my daughter. She actually had to go to the doctor to get her ears checked because there was some kind of clog in it. And so sometimes the Lord wants to heal something in someone else, and he will give it to you in your body. So you kind of always want to see, like, what the Lord is doing. The next one on your list is impressions in your emotions. So this is when you feel like what someone else is going through. And it's just another way to be led by the Spirit, to hear God speak to you and to minister to someone else and to know what they're going through. So I was at a funeral a while back, and after I'd gotten dressed, I was completely happy, lovely in the Lord. I went to my friend's room to get them, and the minute I walked in, I literally felt anxiety in my throat. It was that tangible. Walked in, and I was like, whoa, what are you guys dealing with in here? They were believers, so I was like, hey, can we just pray for peace real quick? You know, you don't always have to go like, oh my gosh, what? But, you know, internally, that was my voice with the Lord, and so we just prayed for peace and went about it. The next category is hearing God in your senses. So we started walking in this way before we had any information in it. And just a little side note, a lot of this is from Steve Thompson's book, You May All Prophesy. So it'll be on the bookshelf probably in 2 months. So this is Hebrews 5:14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have five senses in the natural, right? It's the same way in the spiritual. We have those same five senses can be used for the Lord. The first one I'm going to talk about is sight. So spiritual sight is just revelation from God upon seeing something or someone. A lot of people hear God with their sight. That's how they visualize, they see things. So it can happen in two different ways. One way is if you just see someone and then they remind you of someone else. So that reminding, sometimes there's a person that I know, and when I'm around that person, I'm reminded of one of my cousins who is happily married. My suspicion is God's telling me that because he's sad about not being married. So my suspicion is that's Jesus telling me, let him know it's going to be okay one day. One day he's going to be okay. He doesn't have to worry about that. I've got it covered. When Mike and I first got married, God used this one. It was just a weird thing, but Pastor Mike came home from work one day, and it was a little bit earlier than what he normally said, and he was like, I am so sick, and I just want to take medicine and go to bed. But when I looked at him, I was like, oh no, you don't, devil. I just knew he wasn't sick. I knew it was a spiritual attack, and he fought me a little bit on praying, which tells you how bad off he was, because you guys know my husband prays. And so I'm like, no, babe, I think we should pray and take authority over this. And after we got done praying, I could see that demonic little thing that was trying to creep in on his sinuses. I saw it leave a little bit. And he's like, thanks, you know, finally. Finally, he's like, I think you're right about that. And he was fine. Another time, I don't know if he shared this with you guys because I'm in children's church so much, but he used to have this tribal necklace. Do you guys remember that? He always wore it. And he like had others stacked in line in case that one broke because, you know, he's got that OCD thing going. He's so cute, right? Love my man. But he went through this season where he was like taking a bite of food and then like violently choking, like unnaturally choking, and so many times. And it's even hard to describe because I'm not a seer. That's not how I hear from God normally. But all I could tell him was like, honey, my eyes are drawn to that thing. That's the only thing I can tell you. And so he was really like, just like, okay. So he just took it off and it stopped. And he was like, that was so weird, you know, because he'd worn it for so long before. I can't explain it. But sometimes God just tells us things. I was just drawn to it. I knew something, I don't know, maybe they prayed over it before they gave it to us or something. Maybe it was something, whatever. But either way, the choking stopped. So the next way is hearing. So spiritual hearing is knowing something or receiving revelation upon hearing a name or hearing that person speak. Most oftentimes I get this when I'm on the phone with somebody because I can't see them. There's nothing else I'm going on. I'm just going on their voice. But have you ever talked to someone and they actually sounded fine, but you knew they weren't right? And they're like, oh, I'm fine. And you're like, no, what's going on? Like, seriously, tell me. Just out with it. That's your hearing. God's giving you supernatural information, not because their voice sounds different, but because you heard it. And it does happen the other way too, of course. Like if you're like, ah, you know, yeah, something's wrong. You're bawling at the other end. But it happens, that spiritual hearing. So you kind of want to tune into that. This can also be just when you hear someone's name and be like, hey, you know Barry, right? And you're like, oh, the redheaded guy? Well, you didn't know that before. You haven't met him, but you just knew this information about him. And so that can help you kind of minister to people as well. Smell. So your spiritual smell is where there's no explanation, but you actually smell something around you. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says that for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. So we have a scent, and that's just something that we really don't hear about too much. It's happened a couple of different times. One time was with smoke, and there's like no reason that you're smelling smoke, but you could smell smoke. And so we're like, okay, well, we don't know what it is, but we're going to pray against it. The other time we were praying, a small group of us, and all of a sudden out of nowhere just smelt like a sweet strawberry fragrance. And we're like, ooh, thank you, Lord. And just as quick as it went and we identified, the smell left. But it was just so precious. So be aware of smell, your sense of smell. Touch, spiritual touch. God reveals something to you as you touch someone or someone touches you. So Luke 8:45, and Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Jesus knew someone had touched him and received power. So sometimes when I mention things that Jesus did, there's a misunderstanding, and they are like, well, okay, Jesus walked in that, but I'm not Jesus, he was God. Okay, so let's get our theology straight real quick. The word of God in 1 John 2:6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So if Jesus did it, we should do it, right? Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So when Jesus came, he left his deity. He was still 100% God, but he operated under the power of the Holy Spirit so that we would be able to say, we can do it. Whatever he did, we can do. And Jesus actually said, even greater things will we do when he leaves and gives us the Holy Spirit. So we're supposed to do more than that. My suspicion on touch is that a lot of times it comes after we do it in faith. So many times, you know, the Bible says lay hands and pray for the sick. And when I first started praying for people, I was like, God, I do not know what to say. And the enemy would just bombard me. Did anybody get that? Like where the enemy's just like, you don't have anything to pray about. And the enemy, he would just tell me like, you have nothing to say. And I'm like, oh, I don't, but I feel like I should pray for this person. And I kind of feel like that might be a half-truth. You know, the devil kind of likes to switch things like kind of halfway. And so I feel like a lot of times maybe I don't know everything God wants to say right then, but after I lay hands and after I touch someone, then he gives it to me. So you might really want to think about maybe when you're praying for people and you know, you might want to just start with the basics of thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for this person. And then maybe God will give you that other revelation from touch. We were at an event, and a lady was about to start speaking. I just felt really led by the Spirit to go and to pray for her and to bless her message before she got up and spoke. And so she was like, absolutely, got permission to lay my hands on her. And so I just blessed the message, and then God's like, wait there for a second. And so I'm like, you know, it's kind of like, all right, I'll just wait. So you're just sitting there, and the Lord revealed to me that she had fibromyalgia, but she didn't want anyone to know. And so when God gives you his secrets, you better steward them, and you better steward them well, because he will not give you secrets if you do not keep them. So I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And he was like, just bless her with the opposite. And so I'm like, okay. So we just blessed with the absolute opposite of that fibromyalgia, of that tiredness, just blessed with energy and all of that good stuff. And so that was just from taking the step of what I did know, and then he gave me the supernatural knowledge of touch afterwards, right? Next is taste. supernatural spiritual taste. God gives you a distinct taste in your mouth as you're praying for someone, and it's not from natural causes. And so the example of this is like if you're praying for somebody and all of a sudden you feel like that metallic taste in your mouth. I've felt that before. God might be having you pray for somebody. Maybe they're praying for healing and they don't even know it yet. So you want to be aware of that taste, what that's going on. The next one is the voice of God. So we have the still small voice, we have the internal audible voice, and we have the audible voice of God. So I think most oftentimes when people say, I can't hear God, they're expecting the booming voice that John talks about in Revelation. I've actually never heard the audible voice of God. And I don't know that I know of anyone who's had the audible voice of God. Some people maybe have. But either way, that's not like the norm of how he communicates, right? So Habakkuk 2:1-2 says, I will stand my watch and set myself at the rampart and watch to see what he says to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So the voice of God, one definition that Mark Verkler gives is spontaneous flowing thoughts that light upon your mind. Spontaneous flowing thoughts that light upon your mind. And so when you break that up, you quiet yourself, you keep watch to see, so your eyes are involved. You have expectation of what he's going to say to you. And then last, you write it down. Don't forget to write it down. So again, we're not looking for a booming voice here. In the morning, I have this type of quiet time with God so that throughout the day, he can talk to me in the other ways that I'm describing to you. So this is kind of the one for me because of that's how I'm trained. I'm not a seer. This is how I do it. Now, Pastor Mike is the opposite. He's a seer. So he'll sit down and he'll read the word of God and then he'll ask God for a vision. And a lot of times that's the way he hears best. I'm an internal audible of internal still small voice of God kind of girl. So the spontaneous flowing thoughts are the way that I hear most of the time. So quiet yourself in God's presence. Love Psalm 143:8. It says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. The second part, keep watch to see. Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And Acts 2:25 says, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. So picturing God in that situation. The next one is expectation of what he says. So John 7:38 says, to the one who believes in me, it is just as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And if you are curious about the difference between demonic thoughts and God thoughts are the good ones. The demonic thoughts are the bad ones. I know it sounds simple, but it really is that simple. So when you hear a condemning voice, the one that wants to back you into a corner, the one that says, hey, you did it wrong and you just need to stay over there and you can never take your place, that's not Jesus. Jesus is such a beautiful, beautiful person. Jesus is the one that says, you might have messed up, but I want you to be restored. And I want you to take your place because I've put you there. And I want you to stay humble and know that I've put you there. And it's not an accident. You never have messed up so much that you're supposed to go over there in the corner. That's never God's voice, ever. So God's voice has those good things. What's his name? Graham Cook. Thank you, Lord. Graham Cook says, when the Lord rebukes you, you still feel brilliant about yourself. You still feel brilliant. And isn't that just the way Pastor Mike is? Like, I love his sermon sometimes, or when he's upset with me at home, because I'm like, did I just get in trouble? Like, I can't even tell. Was that in trouble? And that's just the way God is. Like, he's such a beautiful, beautiful person. And he just knows how to just touch on that thing that might need tweaking, but also to lift your head at the same time. So if you're feeling like really like, oh, it's not Jesus. So you might want to talk to somebody if he is doing that, because I wasn't planning on staying this point this long. So if you're getting those negative thoughts, you might want to talk to somebody and be like, oh, I just need more God thoughts, not these thoughts. I need those God ones. The last thing on that is you record the vision. So Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2 says, do not be hasty in word or impulse in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort and the voice of a fool through many words. So you want to quiet yourself. You want to keep watch to see. You want to expect that he is going to speak to you, and then you want to write it down. And again, this is how I start my day. So, you know, the huge things of my life have come through that morning time. And so God honors that time when you set it apart. You guys know our story. You know that so many times the Lord has called us to wake up at a certain time before our busy days get going so that we can just get that intimacy with him. The next two categories I'm going to talk about are visions and dreams, and both of these I never used to get until I specifically asked for them. So I just want to keep you guys to keep in mind that you might be hearing God one way, but if you want one of these other ways, you know, the Word of God says you have not because you ask not. All you need to do is just ask, and he is so faithful. And I've also had people that see visions pray over me because I'm like, ooh, you get to see. I want to see. Come pray for me. And so I know many of you girls that see, and even the guys that see, they've prayed for me. So there's three types. Glimpses in the spirit, which is a fleeting internal picture or small picture. There is an internal vision. It's like the small picture, but it has a storyline that goes with it. There are open visions that you receive with your eyes open, and it's like seeing it on a movie screen. Joel 2:28 and 29 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So the first time I received a vision, I had just done an HD group, which is our Have Room devotion, and I was doing it with a group in Texas. And we were on the final level, which is the sod level, and that's where you just really let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the verse that you've been studying for the last 3 weeks. And our leader did such a great job. She had put a presentation together about being victorious in God. And then she asked us to stretch ourselves and ask for a picture. And so I asked God for a picture, and I kind of felt like an idiot when I didn't get anything like a picture, but he did give me something about being victorious even while the nuisances of life are happening. And I went to sleep that night, and the next morning when I woke up, this is before me and Pastor Mike were married, I saw myself. It was my picture of myself in my wedding gown. I was at the back of our cathedral church, and I had the sword and the shield, and I was ready to walk, and I was like, that's a good vision, Lord. Thank you. I was just sobbed like a child. But I don't think I would have had that if I didn't ask, and so I just want to encourage you to ask, and he is just so faithful to give it, right? The next category is dreams. So I had to actually do two things to start getting dreams. One, I had to ask, and two, I had to put a pen and a paper by my bed so that I could write them down. So before I asked the Lord, I never, ever, ever remembered my dreams. Me and my sister are the exact same way. We just never remembered. And I didn't care. It didn't bug me. But once I found out it was biblical and God was sharing things with people through dreams, I was like, you have to talk to me that way. Like, I have to have it. I'm so hungry. I'm so jealous. I'm so thirsty for the Lord. When I hear someone having something, I'm like, yes, and me too, because you have no favorites, right? We're all your favorites, and so ask for that. So there's a few different types of dreams. There's a literal dream, which just shows you the future and it prepares. You know, Joseph had a dream about where he should take Mary in the Bible. You can look it up. The symbolic dreams, this is where it needs interpreting, and I'm going to be sharing that in a minute. And then there's dreams of angels of the Lord. So when you wake up, write it down. It, you know, me and Mike are obviously in the bed together, and so a lot of times I'm like writing it down with the flashlight from my phone, and it's like just chicken scratch, and then I wake up and I'm like, now I need the gift of interpretation because I have no idea what this says, but it always works. So write it down, and then you want to ask the Holy Spirit. So if it's a symbolic dream, you want to ask the Holy Spirit for the revelation of it, and then from there, you want to go to like a Christian author, like a Gall's Dream Dictionary or one of those that is reputable if you want to cross-reference your symbols. But it's Genesis 41:15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph then answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And so I just love that, and you guys know he gave him the dream about 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of famine, and it just was a huge thing, but it all came from this dream interpretation. There's several of those in the Bible. Ask and the Lord will give you those dreams. And I just got to say, you know, I went from no dreams at all. This week I had two different ones. So it's so, so fun. One was for me and one is for someone else, you know. And so it is so fun to have the Lord speak to you, especially for other people. I think it's awesome. So trances. Trances are like an open vision. I think this is number 12 on your sheet. But they're like an open vision, but you actually participate in the scene. I don't know anyone who does this a lot, but Peter in Acts 10:34, you know, when the sheet came down and the Lord told him to kill and eat. So he was actually in the trance, and it had a huge implication for the rest of Christianity, right? The next one on there is being caught up in the spirit and like a trance, but you're taken somewhere. So Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3, he's like, I was either in the spirit or in the body, but I was taken up to the third heaven. So it's biblical. It's in there. Some people are walking in it. I personally have not had this happen, but it's in the Bible. So if it happened then, it can happen now, right? There's also angelic visitations. So physical appearance of an angel. Acts 27, 23 to 24, the angel came and like unlocked the prison, and Peter and Paul were set free. And so it's like, there's anything that can happen. There's many appearances of the angel. And of course, last we have a visitation from the Lord, and you can kind of see that happen from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and the Lord can speak to you just from that appearance. So you have the appearance in a dream, a vision, or physically where the Lord comes. My mom didn't have a lot of faith for certain things. And so it really means a lot to me that she shared with me she had an angelic visit. So I think it's so funny that we have different faiths for different things. But so an angelic visit, like in my eyes, like that's a lot of faith to have like an angelic visit. Like for me, that's big. But she didn't have the gift of tongues. She didn't believe in it. So it's just so powerful that not only did she believe in angelic visitations, but she also described it to me. And she was in her bed really like interceding about something. And she was broken about it. And she just described how an angel of the Lord came. She always had a chair beside her bed. And the angel of the Lord like came, and the brightness from it was so bright that all she did was like cover her head. And then she just sobbed in peace because she just knew that God had her situation. And so if you don't have the faith for all of these things, that's fine. You might be getting that level of like, oh, I don't have the faith for praying in tongues, but I have the faith for an angelic visitation. Hey, take it. That's God, you know. Like, let's not get hung up on the little stuff. Like, take what you have the faith for. And, you know, once God takes you in that small step, you can keep going. There are of course, other ways of hearing. You know, one way I want to tell you is you can hear from someone. Sometimes people get the word of the Lord and it's for you. Now, the difficult part of this is that we have to be accountable, and we have to take what they say seriously. So between me and my husband, this was really difficult when we first got married. And so God gave us a little saying, and it said, this little saying is that I'm going to trust the God in him, and he's going to trust the God in me. And so what that means is, if I get it from the Lord, unless he has a serious check in his spirit, he's going to trust God in me, and vice versa. So we've had that happen where we didn't see eye to eye on something. And you guys know, if you're married, it sounds a lot easier than when you're actually walking it out, right? So we had to put something into place that said, I could hear from God, and it was okay if he didn't get it as long as he trusted me, and vice versa. I didn't have to get it as long as I trust him and know that he's hearing, and then we could walk simultaneously going towards God. So he's like, God has reorganized our steps so many times. Like, there's sometimes where God says, like, and I feel really led to go to something, and God's like, Mike's like, oh, I'm not going. And then in our prayer time in the morning before we leave the house, he's like, oh, okay, I guess I am. You know, God will just reorganize it, but we don't interfere with each other. I was still going to go. He wasn't going to prevent me from going. So he knew, okay, your call is to go. He may or may not be going with me. And so you have to be accountable. You kind of have to be humble, and then you have to if it's somebody that you don't trust, you know, test it. If it's somebody above you in leadership and you're not working it out, then you're really going to have to quiet yourself before the Lord. And so these aren't all of the ways that God speaks, but this is a big, huge bulk, you know. Amen. Like, thank God that he is a God that wants to be known. And, if you are not hearing on one level, at all of the other levels. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, I'm not hearing, but that's because I'm not, you know, like Barbara, who's like seeing in the angelic realm. Well, but I'm hearing in another way. So it's okay that I'm not like seeing angel whirlwinds around me like Miss Barbara's, you know, anointing. That's okay. God's still speaking to me, and I know my steps to take. So yeah, amen. It's like the longest preach I've ever done in my life. So let me pray for all of us, and let's just see what God wants to do. Okay. So yeah. You guys want to stand up? Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, that you're just so awesome. And you speak to us in so many different ways, and you relate to us. And I just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through godly people. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, through our mind and our body and our senses. And I just ask, Lord God, that you would train us up, that our senses would be trained to discern both good and evil, that we would be mature in you, and that, Lord, we would walk in such a high level of discernment. We would know what you're doing. We would know when you want to do it. And, Lord, we would just come in alignment with what we see you doing. So I just thank you, Lord, for opening our ears, our hearts, our eyes, and giving us the faith to believe maybe for a different level of hearing today. Just believe that God's giving us even now, maybe a vision through someone else. Is anybody getting something to share with the body before we break up into ministry? You can just raise your hand and I'll bring you the microphone. If there's anything, a vision that God's given you for the body.